Hello there. It is me, Matt Silberman, producer of Two Girls, One Podcast, and I'm here to tell you that I'm going away on vacation. I will be back. So, putting together an episode while I'm in the pool, not going to happen. All right. But I thought it might be fun to share an encore episode, one of my personal favorites, because, as you know, if you're a longtime listener, I am personally obsessed with virtual worlds, and that's what we cover on the show, of course. A lot of them take the shape of text or social media or online community, but I'm particularly enamored with virtual worlds, and we've covered many of them. Video games, VR chat, MMOs, which are massively multiplayer online gaming spaces or social spaces, Second Life, VR chat, archaeology in No Man's Sky, things like that are my personal obsession. And this was an episode from way back, actually about 2 years ago now. We've been doing this show a long time. This is from August 17th, 2020, and this is about a real cemetery, or, you know, we'll define the word real in a moment, but a real cemetery in the spaceship massively multiplayer online video game called EVE Online, which is really like the progenitor of a lot of massively multiplayer games. And what I mean by that is, like, EVE Online is a persistent universe. Everyone shares it. You're not hopping into an instance with your Fortnite buddies or, you know, jumping into a game with 4 or 5 players or 100 players. It's like everyone in this universe is in the universe at the same time. And it has a real economy. It is controlled by players. There are not really NPCs that give you quests or whatever. I mean, there's some of that, but like the stuff that goes on in this universe is created by the players who inhabit it, the alliances, the factions, the warfare, the economy is entirely player driven. And I have covered this game from afar, not in great depth, but you'll often see sometimes, whoa, the biggest battle in EVE history, and there's been $500,000 worth of spaceships lost in the game. Like, stuff like that is endlessly fascinating to me. So I have played the game a lot during the pandemic, but didn't get very intertwined with the politics of the world. You know, I was just kind of doing my own thing on the side, but endlessly fascinated by the empires that rise and fall in this world that people inhabit, almost like a full-time job, and then became aware that there is one star system where a handful of players were bringing the bodies of dead pilots and marking them in space. And then players started becoming aware of this place in the game, and also said, hey, you know, my pet passed away this past year. Can I mark a canister in space that will be there, and I'll leave a message? And then people started saying, oh, my father, my brother, my friend, my fellow player, my IRL partner, you know, people in real life who really love this game were sort of, memorializing their lost loved ones in a virtual space that others can visit. And in order to book the guest that we had for this show, I, you know, hopped in my virtual spaceship, went to see the cemetery for myself, and it is quite remarkable. And then by, you know, getting in proximity of that star system or that space, that virtual space, I was able to message the person who created the cemetery in the game and she referred me to the guest. I think that's how it went down. And we talked to Jason Marshall, who had been playing the game for many, many years, as many of these players do. And he talked about really the significance and the origin story of this. And I just love that. And, you know, this was back when Jen was co-hosting, and Allie and Jen also, you know, really had very little context for this type of experience. And our guest really made it tangible for non-players, you know, because this is a very, it's a nuanced and detailed kind of world, this kind of MMO. And I think we all found it really, really fascinating and moving. And the developers of the game have sort of created a safe space where this cemetery can exist outside the reach of people who might want to just destroy it or graffiti it or otherwise sort of tamper with it, which you can really do with any other thing in the game. There really are very little rules. You can do what you want to do and fuck up whoever's party you want to fuck up in EVE Online. It is a hyper-capitalist, cutthroat, piracy-laden, scam-filled universe, and that's what makes it great. So it's cool that the developers kind of enshrined this holy place created by the community. So this episode encapsulates a lot of what I love about the internet, and wanted to reshare it with you before I head on ad here. So if you have not heard this, this is episode 143 from August 2020, a great one that we hope you'll enjoy if you haven't heard it. And if you have, maybe check it out again, and or we will talk with you next week. We spoke to the executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, which was just a tremendous, brilliant interview. She's amazing. She's has done amazing work to protect the things that we all care about on this this internet we inhabit. So it was lovely speaking with her. We will have that interview for you next week. But for now, enjoy the Space Cemetery in EVE Online from August 17th, 2020.
Action adventure, shoot them up, MOBA, tower defense, collectible trading card, roguelike, PvP, free to play, battle royales, and if you even know what one of those words means, you've probably unsubscribed by now. Without further delay, here are the only two podcast hosts who play massively multiplayer online games for fun. Allison Goldberg and Jennifer Jamula.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jen.
I'm Allie.
Welcome to Two Girls, One Podcast. For a little background, Allie and I had a live comedy show in the before times called Blogalogs, where we used the internet as our script. Hi, Matt. Nice to see you, hear you, too. Well,
have you
what
ever
is?
Heard that, Matt? There's
no,
the before
I love
times,
it.
And then there's now.
Yeah, BC and AC, mm-hmm. Before COVID and after.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Well, are you marking before times before 2016 or before 2020?
Very good question. I was thinking 2020, but yeah, you make a great point.
Yeah, great point.
So what is even happening with live theater? You know, what will happen to live theater comedy? But anyway, we had a show where we used the internet as our script and performed in front of a live audience. We wanted to meet the people behind the posts. So eventually we created a web series called Two Girls, One Show. You can find it on Hoo Ha Ha. We met those people in interviews and then went on scripted adventures. And now all of this has become, over time, this podcast that you're listening to right now, where we are interviewing people behind internet communities and phenomena that we find interesting. We're here with Matt Silverman and The Daily Dot. Hello again, Matt.
Hello.
Guys, I hate to say it, but today's topic is morbidly relevant to the before and after times.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking graveyards today. That's what's happening.
Ooh,
that
did
I just
is right.
bring everyone down? Is everyone having fun? How's your day?
Woo! Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Oh, do I have the air horn? I do have it. Ready?
Here you we go. Do.
Graveyards.
Graveyards. Yeah, I was just thinking, I read a really depressing article earlier. I'm already in.
Who didn't?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you just mean an article.
Yeah.
Because they're all depressing.
Jen read this morning.
I won't bore you with it, but it was basically like how COVID is the unraveling of America, as you know, which I think we all probably are thinking about. Anyway, it's Rolling Stone.
Well,
check
I think Trump is the unraveling of America. And then COVID was just like nail in coffin, brought it right back to graveyards.
But this article is saying Trump is just a symptom of what was already happening. I don't know, guys.
That's
anyway.
True. That's true. Yeah.
So, but graveyards. Okay. But let's take it back a little bit. So everybody, you know, I don't really play video games that much. I know, Allie, you've been trying to get a Nintendo Switch. How's that going?
Not well.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually want to buy one and pay for it.
I want someone else
to send me one.
Yes.
Wink, wink. No.
Trivia prize.
Mm-hmm. I can't seem to get a Switch anywhere. I know they're out of stock. No, I just don't want to pay money.
I don't want to buy it. I just bought a new dining room table, bitches. I can't get a Switch, too. Exactly,
you can't play video games on a table.
My table looks so good.
I know.
Post you know you're in your 30s when.
Ooh. But so Matt clued us into something very cool called EVE Online. We're clearly behind the trend here because this game has been around since, what, 2003? Is that right, Matt?
2000. Yes. Yeah, okay. 2003.
So we've learned a little terminology. We know it's an MMO. It is a massively multiplayer online game. It is one of the longest running virtual communities around, unified virtual communities around, which is obviously interesting for us here at Two Girls, One Podcast. And also, Matt, you clued us into the fact that people who don't even play the game still follow the politics and wars of the game from the outside. So Matt, we're going to pass it to you now. Could you just fill us in a little bit on what happens in this game, what it's all about?
Internet spaceships, baby.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
Really? Okay.
No, just kidding.
You know what
I learned? You know what I found out? Second Life came out like 2 months after EVE Online. So like these two gaming worlds, their worlds, virtual worlds, have been around for that long and still kicking, still going, as we've learned on previous episodes. EVE is just so fascinating because it's literally like, here's it's not quite a galaxy. It's like 7,000 star systems. Here's a space world. Here's a spaceship. Go. And you can do whatever you want. The economy is completely player run. The politics, as you said, that you can join a corporation, you can go to war. And it's like, there's no, like, there are like little quests and stuff that you can do, but it's different from other MMOs where it's like, go here, kill this monster, and then come back and get your gold and join a clan or whatever. Like, this is like the developer that makes this game has like economists on the staff to make sure that the in-game economy doesn't like implode on a regular basis, because it's real. Everything that happens is real people doing real things. And I have been fascinated by it for years. I've covered it in the media, like when the huge battles would happen, I'd write about them occasionally. And I've tried to play it like two or three times. And people say it's like playing a spreadsheet. So like you're in a spaceship and you're flying around space, but you're not like pum pum, you know, playing Star Wars. You have like six menus open with like walls of text, and you're looking, okay, this gun does like a slightly more damage, but I gotta modify my shield, and my hull has a fitting that's gonna make it a little more powerful, but I need a mining beam to get the asteroid. Like, it's this kind of game that fills your whole brain, and I love that and have never been able to fully grasp it. And now I'm starting to dabble, and then I came across this amazing place,
yes,
which is a cemetery for dead players.
Don't tell us too much. Do you have some suspenseful movie trailer music that you could play?
Oh, I should. Let me try this, but this is the only button I have. Let me try it. Does that work?
Allie,
yeah,
could you
I think
give,
that works.
Could you give me an underscore, Allie, of like a dun 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 dun. All right, let's do it.
I'm ready.
Okay, go for it.
Dun dun. Da-da. Okay. Well, wait, I just started doing Jaws.
That's the Pink Panther theme.
I think just like speed up Jaws, maybe.
Wait, hold on. I have something for you. Everybody, wait. Don't go anywhere. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic. What are you doing?
I'm pulling up actual suspense music since Matt failed us. Go for it, Jams.
Somewhere in the middle of space, there's a massive cloud of gravestones making up a virtual cemetery. For years, one player named Ozzy Obergi has been slowly gathering and transporting bodies to this graveyard for killed players in a specific solar system called Molia. She does this for fun. She puts them in cargo canisters and labels them with messages from other players, like, here lies so-and-so. Okay, we can cut the music.
That was good.
Honestly, that was great.
Thank you. Yeah, I might have taken really some notes. Good. In advance, yeah.
Oh my god, look at us preparing. I said us like I had anything to do with that. I obviously didn't prepare. I had to pull up the music.
You provided the music. Thank you. Yeah.
I did. No thanks to Matthew. What is he here for?
But so there's this one other aspect of this. So it started for players killed in the game, but it evolved to also commemorate players who died in real life. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, which is so
sad. Is
so
there a
cool.
COVID section?
Well, we are going to ask. I'm curious. Like, this has been covered in, you know, Eve, like websites that cover like the news that's going on. Like, I think there's like, I'm playing the game. I'm in the game. There's currently like a world war happening. I have no idea who's fighting or what's at stake. But like, when you listen to an Eve podcast or read a blog, it's like, holy shit, can you believe this alliance is doing this and that? And I'm like, okay. But then I've discovered that the cemetery, and you read about it and you're like, oh, that's really interesting. We should like explore this for the show. And then yesterday or the day before, I went there. It was like 25 light, you know, starship jumps away from where I'm based. So it took like, you know, a little while to get there. And you go there and it's such a peaceful, somber place. And then you fly into this cloud of, so it's canisters. You can eject materials and resources into space if you like don't want them or you want to send them to another player. And people eject canisters and then they write names on them. And normally it's like, oh, here lies, you know, cool dude 640 or like whatever, your Eve username. And it's just people who died in the game, and there's no penalty for dying. You lose your ship and you start again. But then there's like amazing graves where it's like, here lies Uncle Johnny. He was the father I never had. Rest in peace. And that's like dates on it. It's like, okay, clearly these are players commemorating real family members who have died, and they can permanently commemorate them inside a virtual world because these canisters never delete, they never deteriorate. And then the other cool thing was that the developers of the game, you know, this was all player run. It was player created. And then finally the developers of the game just recently, like in July, were like, we're going to create a static permanent monument in the game. So there's this cloud of graves and then there's this beautiful statue that's like floating in space. And it's kind of the developer saying like, yes, we recognize this amazing achievement that the community has done. And now it's just this beautiful, somber solar system that you can visit and pay your respects and then fly away and go about your business. It's really cool.
Pop quiz. What does this remind me of in real life that I did that was crazy that I also, I think, already shared on the podcast?
It was Burning Man. And I remember because it was, what was it exactly? It was like a monument to people who had passed, but it was also a piece of art. And you saw a commemoration of my uncle who had passed away that somebody had put up there, and you sent a picture. Did I botch that or is that right?
You nailed that story so hard.
Yeah. Allie just like randomly turned her head and saw like Michael Palm, my uncle. And she was like, oh my God, took this picture, and she had no reception. So she sent it to me like 5 days later or something.
But like, imagine that you're in, for instance, Matt, you went and visited this graveyard in this game, and imagine there's like, at Burning Man, I don't know that it's thousands, but there's like hundreds of pieces of paper all attached to this piece of art. And like the one that I happened to turn and look at was Jen's uncle. It was
so wild.
Crazy.
So wild.
Yep.
So today we're speaking with Jay Marshall, who is a player of the game. He's actively involved with this cemetery, and we're going to get the scoop from him. I hope that was all clear.
We did pretty good.
You're playing a game. People die. They made a graveyard in the game, but now real people in the graveyard.
But also spaceships, man. Spaceships.
Also spaceships. calls. Oh,
yes.
I love this segment so much.
Hey, Allie. Hey, Hey, Jen. Hey, Matt. I'm Andrea. I'm calling from Philly. I've called a couple times in the past, and I've been aired on your show. The honor. I just called to tell you that I hope you never, ever, ever change the little intro that goes, whoa-oh-oh-oh. I always harmonize with it, and it is addicting, and it is my favorite part of the show. I mean, that's a lie, because the show is, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But yeah, I hope you don't ever change that. And I am still very thankful that I got the pleasure of hosting Matt on my Animal Crossing town to sell him some turnips. I still have the picture we took, and it's iconic. So I just want to tell you guys that. I love this show so much. Keep up the good work. I'll see you guys on Discord.
See you there. Discord.gg/2g1p.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about the fact that, awesome. Matt, you went to her island, you little hussy. Does your wife know about this?
There was a 60% chance that my wife was actually going to go in my place, because she's the one who manages our Animal Crossing turnip finances. But we made arrangements, and I was able to acquire the turnips and then visited Andrea. She had a great price, and also like a kick-ass island, may I say. Like, most islands are just like, oh, I put a house here, cute, whatever. She really had a beautiful, like, a library, reading nook, a spa, A+.
That's amazing. Also, Andrea, could you please call back and sing the harmony for us? And then maybe we could like overlay it one day. That would be so cool.
One day we'll bake it into the show. It'll become part of the new theme song.
Well, then you'll be on every
shit.
Time.
Well, now that's a lot of pressure. And you just promised that, Matt. This is getting out of hand.
Should we make that a Patreon, like a $50 Patreon perk? Well, like, we'll bake you into the theme of the show. If you get
baked into the theme of the show, I think you have to pay more. I'm just saying.
You also have to have a good singing voice.
What if you have like 10 people who take that tier? What are you going to do, Matt? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You haven't thought this through.
You layer them all. Five people take the tonic
note.
Okay, fine.
You heard it here. If you donate $50 on patreon.com, that's not the right URL.
It's halfway
Patreon.
There.
It's half it. Patreon.com/2G1P.
Yeah.
$50. And it's every month, okay? You will get baked into the show. I hope you all sign up for this, because Matt
even
has to deal
bad,
with it.
Even if you're a bad
you
singer and you're totally off key.
Singer in the world, Matt's going to figure it out. He's going to make you shine.
Now check this out. Do you remember, I think I posted this in the Discord too. Like, this is the theme song that we used for the show. You guys used for your web series, and it was so perfect for you. And then we were like, oh my God, we need to use this on the podcast too. So we use it. You purchased it from a music library. It was, you know, that's not cheap. You know, it's part of a system, whatever. And then do you remember when I texted this YouTube video to you?
From new love to lifelong friends. Moments together call for America's family favorite. Lipton, live alive.
Lipton?
A Lipton iced tea commercial uses
also
our theme song.
Bought the $50 theme song. Interesting. I don't remember how much it was, but it couldn't have been
for
that
national
expensive.
Television.
Wow.
Lipton's fucking low budge, huh? How about that?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, that makes sense, because they are the low budget tea.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jen, do you want to write epitaphs for each other now or later?
Well, now I'm superstitious about it, because I'm like, if we do it later, we're going to die before then. So sure, let's just do it now.
Okay. If you were blown up in EVE Online, like if you were like warped into a system with very low security, and then it's called getting ganked. Okay, another player comes out of space, uncloaks, paralyzes your spaceship, blows you up. Not only blows you up, but then blows up the little pod inside the spaceship where your body is. Blows you the fuck up, and you're dead.
I got ganked.
You got ganked. What is the epitaph on your space gravestone?
I love that word. It sounds like shanked.
Jamula.
I'm really into it.
She loved swamping and ganking.
Allie. Here lies Allie. She loved bacon and naming her plants. She survived by a family of googly eyes.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
I love it.
That didn't even make me sad. Is that weird?
No, it should make you proud.
Yeah, that's what I got right now. I got a family of googly-eyed plants. It's
you
a
also
good
have
thing
a shirtless can... roommate. Sorry, can I say that?
Yeah, I do. We already told the story, right? How I was video chatting with Jen and he was shirtless in the kitchen. And I was like, Jen, I have to show you something. And I just like tilted my screen so she could see him. And that he saw me do it. And he turns and he goes, I do the laundry like this too.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we got to do some trivia. Let's get it going.
All right.
I know. I got to win that Nintendo Switch. I'm ready.
Yeah. You can put it on your dining room table.
That's right.
Today's trivia is about EVE Online, one of the oldest and longest lived single server MMOs. Everyone's in the same galaxy together. It's so cool. I love the stories that come out of EVE. And I have a story of well-known EVE history from January 27th, 2014. On this date, probably the largest battle in the history of EVE Online took place in the B-R5RB solar system. Now, I'm saying probably because there's a couple ways to measure like the biggest, but it's widely assumed that this was the battle that involved the most players, 7,500 individual players, and the battle lasted for 21 hours. The resulted losses and damage to ships and property was worth 11 trillion ISK. ISK is the in-game currency. And at that time, 11 trillion ISK was roughly equatable to $300,000. Now, I just want to clarify for those who don't play and for our hosts, nobody lost real money when they lost chips in the game. That's not how the game works. But this is sort of a comparison point because if you generate ISK in the game, you can then use that money to buy subscription time. So it's kind of like an indirect way to correlate ISK with dollars. And thus, this battle cost $300,000 worth of damage. Now, this entire conflict was sparked by a single player named Manfred Sidious.
He sounds like a dick.
Today's question, what happened with Manfred Sidious to spark the bloodbath of BR5RB in 2014, the largest battle in EVE history and probably the largest player battle conflict in the history of MMO games? What happened? A, Manfred thought he was sending a funny meme to somebody in his corporation, but he accidentally sent it to an enemy alliance, which was viewed as an insult, which then sparked the war. B, Manfred's Ponzi scheme, which was scamming a rival corporation out of 1 trillion ISK, was uncovered by a corporate spy, which ignited the war. Or C, Manfred forgot to pay a security bill to the in-game police force, which left his space station vulnerable to attack.
I'm not going to go with the bill paying because that feels too close to home. Let's go with it.
Patreon.com/2G1.
I'm going to go with C.
I'm going with A.
The bill.
And I'll go with the meme.
Okay. Jen goes with the meme. Allie goes with the missing bill. We will find out the correct answer. What sparked the bloodbath of BR5RB in 2014 after this commercial break?
BRB5RB.
Nice.
In a galaxy.
Right here.
Where podcasts are being made on the regular.
From my bedroom.
Sometimes we need a few dollars.
To help us.
Just exist.
to buy groceries.
Like our favorite Trader Joe's.
Pancake bread.
There have been a few key people in the galaxy
that have helped us buy this pancake bread.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level or above. Jerry Duran.
Jessica Fox.
Melissa Elliott.
James Dozier.
Christopher Latch.
Kathy Phillips.
William.
Why do you always get to say William? That's the most fun part.
I know. Do you want to say it? You say it.
No. Next time.
And now a real missed connection advertisement entitled Immaculate Produce at Trader Joe's, 626 W4M. From the only thing on the internet more fun than a podcast about Trader Joe's, Craigslist about Trader Joe's.
I was the blue-eyed brunette in black leggings who asked you if Trader Joe's was still selling collard greens on Sunday, June 26th. While you checked in the back, I texted my roommate about the adorable produce guy at TJ's. You reported back to me the bad news. Then, while I decided on my alternate, you arranged all those greens, the kale, the romaine, the spinach, the microgreens, in the most immaculate formation I have seen. It was artistry of the type I see in pine cones. When I finally decided on the kale, I clumsily knocked another bag down with it, and you had it picked up and put back in half of the blink of an eye. Then I ran away. Just me, my regret, and my organic Tuscan kale.
Allybeth,
get that ad that I wrote?
I was going to say, it sounds like it might mimic your experience at Trader Joe's sometimes.
This was last week for me. Actually, it was 626, as the ad says. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you still frequenting, even though that you've moved now, you still go to TJ's pretty often?
Well, you know, there is a pandemic going on, so I try to go less frequently. You know, I go once every 2 to 3 weeks now, stock up as much as I can, as opposed to my once a week jaunt that I previously had. But, you know,
I see.
It's a pandemic. We all got to make changes. This is the sacrifice I'm making.
Spacing out the joy.
Mm-hmm. But it's weird that you're going to Trader Joe's when you go with a brunette wig and blue contact lenses. Like, why?
Well, I go incognito when I go to Trader Joe's, of course, just for a little mystery and magic, you know, because there's really no entertainment anymore other than going to the grocery store. I mean, in fact, like, this is the only place to pick up men. If they're out, that's where they are.
You're not wrong. I assume.
That's right.
All right. So what is this trivia? BRB45B. All right. Yeah.
Wow. You're pretty good. BR5RB. I had to rehearse that a lot because it's very hard to say. The biggest battle in EVE Online history, perhaps the biggest bloodbath in the history of MMO games. 7,500 players fought for 21 hours. What started it? Was it a meme sent to the wrong place? That was choice A. A Ponzi scheme uncovered. Or C, a forgotten security bill. Jen, you went with C. No, Allie went with C.
I did.
Right.
Allie chose the bill. Jen went with A, the missing meme. Sticking with it.
Sticking with it.
The correct answer is C, the missing bill.
Nice.
Allie wins.
I've been winning a lot lately.
I'm a winner.
She's on a streak.
I'm a winner.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
What did I get?
We got to bake you into the theme song. I'm a winner.
What did I get?
You get
did I win a Nintendo Switch?
Free, a free subscription to EVE Online.
Cool.
You get 1 month.
Cool.
Wow. Is the first month always free?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's actually free to play. You can play it for free as much as you want, but then you have to upgrade. Yeah.
Useless. Just kidding.
So useless.
I find this very entertaining. I think you will too. Manfred Sidious of the Pandemic Legion Alliance. This was long before the real pandemic, of course. Missed a security payment, which meant the sovereignty of BR5RB was up for grabs for a window of time. This system was very strategic at the time because the station, it was like a staging ground for an ongoing war. So the space station there contained a lot of ships and resources. resources. And if it was captured by the enemy, those ships would be trapped inside the station. They'd be unable to launch and join other battles. So it's very strategic location. So when this was realized, members of the Pandemic Legion were like very quietly trying to reclaim the system before anyone noticed it was vulnerable. But there was an enemy scout that had slipped into the system and alerted the enemy. So they were very close to very peacefully and calmly reclaiming the sovereignty of the system. But with 1 hour remaining, capital fleets from the Clusterfuck Coalition, also known as CFC, warped into the system and started blasting, thus triggering the biggest conflict in any multiplayer video game up to that point. 7,500 players, 717 corporations, 55 alliances, and 11 trillion ISK lost. Again, $300,000 worth of like player time. And the kicker of this whole thing was that it happened exactly 1 year to the day of the previously largest fleet battle in EVE. Purely by coincidence.
Wow. I'm just blown away how complex this world is, how large it is.
Do we know how many corpses came out of that war?
Great question. Great question. And how many are buried in the cemetery?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. All right.
All right, everybody. It is time for our interview. Please welcome to the show our guest, who is a player in EVE Online, who actively works on the Space Graveyard. Welcome to the show, Jason Marshall. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you very much. And it's actually technically the cemetery.
The cemetery. Thank you so much.
The cemetery, to be more accurate. No, it's just, though Space Graveyard has me called that too, but officially it is known as the cemetery.
Yeah. So does that make, it's like the city, like there's only one, like the other there cemeteries is, aren't cool enough?
No one's made one before.
Yeah.
So this is the only one, that's why.
So are you the gravedigger from Hamlet?
No.
Unfortunately, how does it feel to be a grave digger?
Well, my dad was almost one at one point. He actually put himself through college back in Exeter, over in Exeter University in England, doing as a grave digger before he went into the divinity, and decided he wanted to be a priest.
So he was the grave digger from Hamlet before he became a priest.
In the family.
It's a family thing.
But then he decided he didn't want to be a priest and instead became an English teacher.
Wow, I'm so happy we asked the question. This all sounds very Hamlet-y to me. But seriously, what is your role in EVE? We would love to know a little bit more about the role you play at the cemetery.
Right now, it's not much anymore. Once it turned into a monument, pretty much anything that Azia and the rest of us were doing kind of pretty much was done. When it was active, when I first sort of started helping out Azia, my role was more of a resource manager. So I joined the game, played for 2 weeks, decided I didn't like the game, quit. About a month later, said, you know what? I never really gave it a chance. I'm going to try it once more. Redownloaded to the client, installed the game, created a brand new account, and figuring I would spend maybe a week playing the game, called my character Jay Marshall. Ran into Azia 2 days into my gaming, and, 15 years later, I'm still playing the game. So she sort of roped me in because she could tell I was sort of a similarly minded person, and it helped that I and the other people that she hung out with and that she had in her little chat channel, we're all very similar. We're all fans of science fiction, fantasy, anime. We're all over the world. And because she sort of brought me in and got me talking to these people, and it refreshed my interest in the game enough that I stuck with it. Within about a month, I had been introduced to what she was doing, which was she was collecting corpses and putting them in canisters around a tower she had put up. Mechanics in the game back in the early 2000s, back in 2005, 2006 type thing when she started doing this, was that in order to put anything in space, it had to be anchored. If you anchored something out in the middle of BF nowhere, buffuck nowhere, it would despawn after a certain period of time. The times had changed based on how CPP had done things over the years. Sometimes, I think for some objects, it was, by the next morning, some objects got to last a week, till the next game reset, sometimes they lasted a month. It all depended really on what was going on.
And CPP is the developer?
Yeah. CCP, Crowd Control Productions.
Gotcha.
Then they have something called player-owned stations. Yeah, and the short form we all know is POS. And to be honest, the way they ran and had to be fueled and taken care of, a lot of the people owned them called them that too. So Player-owned stations were towers, and they came in small, medium, and large. If you put up a tower, and you had to put it up in a system that had low enough security that they let you do it. So after a certain level of security, you weren't really allowed to put player-owned structures in. But at a certain security level and down, I think 0.6 and down at the time, you could, as long as you had standings with the NPC Empire, the big four that in the game, that owned that area of space. So Azia had the standings and put up a tower out in Amarian space in this space in this system called Molia. And she put it up next to a moon, and she started anchoring the containers of the corpses next to it. Because she did that, the containers don't despawn. So as long as the tower is there and it was active, they stayed. It was a lark, I guess. She started collecting things in the beginning, and then people sort of started seeing she was doing it. So a bunch of us in the room, if we found corpses, and they do crop up here and there, we would package them up, and we'd run out to the station where she had herself based out in Molia, and we'd drop it off. It was like 10 minute. You know, journey in game to get it over there. And then we drop it off to her and, you know, turn around and come back to wherever we were operating out of. And, or we'd contract them out to her and she'd bundle over in a cargo ship and pick them up and then go back. And she'd put them in. Initially, to be honest, when we first started doing it, sometimes we didn't know. Sometimes it was just frozen corpse. And she'd like have a container that said half a dozen frozen corpses. But every once in a while, when your ship dies, if you do leave a corpse in the game, it will actually have your name. So it might say Jay Marshall's frozen corpse, or Fred Fred's frozen corpse, or, you know, Matt Silverman's frozen corpse. And because of that, when she put up a container, she put here lies Jason Marshall, or here lies Matt Silverman, or here lies Fred Fred, or here lies Curious George, because the character had a name. People started noticing she was doing this. So people just started giving her things, or contracting corpses to her to do. So this had been going for a while. I got involved and started helping out. But the primary thing I started doing was more than just collect corpses. My character set up to be more of a sort of a trading industrial type. So I was doing a lot of mining. I was doing a lot of sort of exploration stuff. And because I was doing a ton of mining and doing trade stuff, like making stuff, then trading it, and then or buying and selling stuff on the market to try to make cash in the game, I was able to provide fuel for the tower, because the towers have to be fueled. So myself and the people in the channel, and there were about, actively, I think about 7 or 8 of us at the time, all going at the same time, who were there on a regular basis, plus her, we'd be supplying her with materials on a regular basis in order to keep the tower active. So in game-wise, my character is located a huge distance from her. I'm in the Kaldari Empire area and in the middle area, and she's over on the fringes of Amarian space. It's quite a distance. It literally takes about 10 minutes of travel, or 5 to 10 minutes of travel for my character actually to get to where she is. So I was just mainly just once a week, I'd truck over a whole bunch of stuff I'd managed to get, drop it off on her doorstep and say, here you go, shove this in the tower. And then a lot of us were doing that just to keep the tower going. And if we came across corpses, we gave them to her, and people sort of knew we were sort of limitedly where we were associated. So they would hey, you're associated with Azia in the cemetery. Yeah. Okay. Can I just contract you 6 corpses? Sure. And then we go drop them off for, but mostly
let's talk about all these corpses. how are there 6 corpses lying around? Where are you getting these corpses? What's with this? What's with this corpse delivery system?
All right. So Eve's unlike other MMOs. For example, World of Warcraft is a huge example, because a lot of people are more familiar with that one, it being one of the biggest ones out there. You have your character, you put them in your thing, you can see them, make them look like you want, run them around, do whatever you're doing. Eve's primary avatar, to use that term, is your starship. You can still make a character and he can look like something. You can go in and make him look like, you know, what, a bald, redhead, blonde, male, female. That is just a little sort of picture. Your avatar generally is whatever ship you're flying. When your ship gets destroyed, what's left other than the wreckage and maybe some cargo pods is usually the pod. Pod is where your character is theoretically sitting, plugged into his ship a la the Matrix type thing, and doing everything sort of as if the ship is you and you are the ship. If the pod is destroyed, you as a player respawn basically at whatever space station you have a clone in, and everybody has a backup clone. And then you have to start, you lose your ship, you've lost your ship, it's gone, you don't get a new one, you lose it, plus whatever was in it, plus whatever your character had on them, plus if you had money in your ship, and if you were carrying cargo, it's gone, everything's gone. Every once in a while, you leave a corpse. So, and it's not 100% from what I understand, but every once in a while, when you blow up another player, a corpse is left. Now, and most of the time, the corpse would have a name. So if Matt was playing the game and I was playing the game and we ran in each other and we started fighting, and Matt blew the crap out of my ship and then podded me, which is the term for blowing out the pod where the player is, it potentially would leave a corpse, and it would say frozen corpse of Jason Marshall.
Okay, when you turn into a corpse, do you have a Casper the Friendly Ghost Jason that floats away?
Nope. What happens is if you're playing the game and you get potted and you died, suddenly the screen does that sort of goes to black, comes back up, and you're in the space station. You were last there where your clone is.
I'm not going to lie. I really like that you just said if you get died. I'm into that new terminology.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I hope I don't get died. Yeah.
That's just what we call it in the game. I don't expect you guys to understand. It's highly technical.
I don't want to get died.
The official term in the game is being potted.
But then there's reincarnation, right? You come back to life.
Oh yes, yeah.
That's the sci-fi. Your consciousness. You have a clone body waiting for you at your home station, and your consciousness is instantly teleported into a fully grown clone that then goes into another ship.
So is it just sort of like the whole point is just like? I mean, do you have a limited number of lives, or can you reincarnate forever? Like, what's even the point of the game having corpses? Is it just like meh? You failed.
Any clone you have has to be kept up. So, for example, my character has a specific number of skill points. These skill points are, you earn the skill points over time as you train your character. So my character currently is basically 230 million total skill points on my character. If my clone isn't at the rating to have, so if I have a clone that, let's say, only allows 180 million skill points, if I get potted, I lose anything over that 180 million. So all my skills will get fragged.
So you don't just lose your body, you lose the skills with that body.
That's if you haven't kept your clone up. When you die and you jump into your clone, you have to purchase a new clone.
Yeah, you don't want to get died and not have a clone.
No, mm-hmm. not without a clone to support the skill level I have, considering the time investment I've put into my character.
Okay, so you're just flying around picking up corpses.
I don't pick them up. Well, if I see one, I would. But again, the only way you generally find corpses is if you're involved in player versus player action. I don't do that myself a lot. A couple of the guys who were part of our group, our chat group, they were heavy player versus player people, and they were out doing active wars and things. And they actually were the ones who tended to find corpses more often because they just scout the battlefield afterwards and they snag a bunch of corpses and drop them off to Asia. So generally, I didn't actually find them. I think I've only ever found two corpses in my entire play history. But I've had people who knew I was involved with Asia and the cemetery come up and say, hey, here you go. I've got some stuff. Can you drop this off to Asia at the cemetery? And I'm like, yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, so when someone gives you the corpse to give to Asia, what is the process for getting it an epitaph, getting it in the cemetery, etc.?
Once everything was dropped off to Asia, she would put them into anchorable containers. And then she would, at some point, she would get in her ship, one of her cargo ships, and put them all in there and fly on out to the cemetery. And then she would just basically eject the container out and anchor it. And anchoring is just a game mechanic that allows you to literally anchor an object basically next to something. So it doesn't float away, it doesn't orbit, it just stays in that one spot. Matt's already seen the cemetery, and if you've seen the pictures of the monument, it's this vast globe, what looks like globe of pinpoints. And all those pinpoints are little containers. And so the tower is actually in the middle of that, where it was originally. Monument has now been erected underneath it. She would go out and she would drop one in, and then you can name containers. So you can name it, you know, Jay's container or Jay's container, do not touch, or this is full of radioactive spiders. If you touch it, you're going to be Spider-Man. It doesn't matter. You can put any name in it you want. People drop containers and anchor them and put advertisements in them. Hey, come join this corporation, or hey, check out this alliance, come and join it, etc. So she would just write whatever it is. And initially she just literally said, here lies the corpse of so-and-so. But she started getting people who would say, hey, can you write, here's Fred. He was a great pilot. Pity he ran into an asteroid. You know, silly thing, right? Then she got the guy. There was the first time I ever saw her react when someone asked her to put up a container with no body, but write in it as the epitaph, you know, can you, to whoever, I can't remember the name of the person, your loving, whatever. And it turned out it was a guy, and he wanted one there for his mother or his father had died, and he wanted the container in the game to represent his feeling of sorrow. And it kind of blew her away that someone wanted that, a real life thing, but she said, okay, I can do that. And she did. And then I guess he must have told somebody. And you know how that works. You tell somebody, they tell somebody, they tell somebody.
Do you know what percentage of the cemetery is now game players versus real life people?
No, I don't.
Could you guess?
I would say 10% real, maybe 90% players.
Okay.
This started as a lark, you said, and has developed into something much more meaningful. Could you talk just a little bit about that, like how it's developed over time a little bit more? And like, what does this mean? Like, what did it mean to you when it started? And what does it mean to the community now?
Originally, it was something fun to do with my friends online. Azzy had this cool thing she was doing. And so, you know, we'd do our own thing and then we'd go and we'd help her do her thing, like friends helping out other friends. It didn't become sort of a, we're all in this together, until the first time someone said they were going to attack it.
What an asshole!
Well, he had mentioned it to Azzy that he wanted to attack it. And he said he was going to show up and he was going to, you know, do some damage. So Azzy had basically told us in chat, there's a guy threatening to blow up this thing, he's here. So a bunch of us said, screw that, and got in whatever big combat ships we had at the time, made sure we were loaded for bear, jumped in, and basically traveled to her. We joined into a fleet with Azzy, so we were all together. That meant if he attacked her, we could all respond. And about 7 or 8 of us showed up, and we kind of stood there with facing off against these 4 other guys in some very nasty looking ships who were basically threatening to start blowing things up. And I don't know why they were doing it. I think they were just being shit disturbers, trolling it, basically, to use that term. But Azia was genuinely upset, and we were friends, and we said, okay, we're here to help. And that's when we first sort of all kind of, I think, came together and said, you know, we got to help her more. And then we started actively, you know, feeding her materials, double checking on things, keeping an eye on things. We actively helped her, you know, buy some main defenses. So guns, missile launchers, bomb launchers, shield systems, ECM systems, all that type of stuff. All the various wonky, fun, and wonderful toys that you can put up in science fiction games. The cemetery became something for all of us to do. It was Azia's baby, and it always will be Azia's baby. And whenever it comes to the cemetery, anything that came to it, it was always Azia first. And when she stopped playing a few years back, because life got in the way, as life always does, I mean, I'd let her know if something wonky was going on so that she was aware of it. We all had a project to do. It was our mission to keep the cemetery going. Azia realized that I had trained certain skills in my character to create alliances. And it meant that I could create a multi-corporational alliance, which meant that a little bit better for protection. So we created what was called the Eve Trade Alliance, which was the corporation the cemetery is part of. And it meant that if someone decided to attack the cemetery, everybody else who was part of the alliance could defend it. So the alliance consists of myself and 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 or 6 other corporations plus the cemetery. And so it meant that all of us, regardless of how many people are in those corporations, could suddenly jump to the defense. And then along came the Goon Swarm, who are one of the largest alliances of players out there and are well known for being troublemakers and general troll artists, who came running along and decided, hey, we're going to blow this thing up and attack the tower en masse. And while there were only 6 or 7 of us, or I think in total about 12 people showed up, they showed up with about 400 or 500 and proceeded to basically blow them, unload into the tower.
Luckily, or 500 individual players?
Yes.
Wow.
I like that if a group of people try to attack the cemetery, they end up in the cemetery.
Well, sadly, it was us defending it who got hit. But
I know, but it's kind of crazy. It's one thing to attack an in-game cemetery of players, but once there are real-world people being commemorated, it becomes a super dick move.
Their basic thing initially for attacking it was, I think they were just being trolling. They were just trolling. They were just being themselves. And they hit it and they did some damage. And the mechanic originally was that if you do enough damage to a tower, it goes into what was called reinforced mode. You can't hurt it for 24 hours. And it gives time for whoever owns it to put supplies into it to reactivate the shield to protect it again. But the goons, that's all they wanted to do. They wanted to blast the tower, put it into reinforced mode to basically teach us a lesson. At which point they wandered over, opened up a bunch of the containers, took a bunch of corpses, which they claimed were their people who had been buried there, and they were taking them back, and then left. And we were like, okay, you're bunch of dicks. We know this because you're the good
grave
squad.
Digger is when you dig the holes. What's it called when grave you steal robbing. Corpses? Grave, yeah, yeah, great. Yeah, that makes sense. Robbing. That makes sense. It's a grave robbing.
The second time they actually had the guy who was running it said he was coming to take back all the corpses of the valiant Doonswarm fighters that had been illegally interred in the cemetery. And they showed up and they unloaded and they put it into reinforced mode and they said, "We did it, yay, jihad." And then they turned around and drove off and didn't take anything as far as I remember. They were just basically being trolly funnies. And that's the Goonswarm all over. And that was the last time I think anybody actively attempted to attack it. Since then, it's largely just been left alone. People started realizing it really did no harm, and it was kind of a neat feature. And eventually, it also became one of the sights to see when you're doing sort of the tour of Eve, along with the Eve Gate and the Titan wreckage that's over on the Caldari homeworld and things like that.
Can you tell us? So we know CCP they had this. They made a space. They officially recognized the cemetery as a massive space monument. So how has it changed? And for people who haven't seen it, could you describe what it looks like now?
Well, originally it was if you originally looked at it before they did the monument, it would look like a giant sort of globe, this giant circle around this sort of tower and little structures inside, which were the various static defenses. And about 2 years ago, CCP started talking about making it permanent because people were still going there. Azzy had long since stopped playing, but she knew what was going on because, like I said, I kept telling her, "Hey, this is going on. Hey, this is happening." Last year, I was at the Toronto Fan Fest they did, Eve North, and I ran into, and I had a long chat with one of the Eve guys from Eve, from CCP, and he told me they were actually going to put a monument, they were thinking of putting a monument up, which Azia didn't believe me. And then I posted an article where someone had said, "Hey, look, they're thinking of doing this," and sent it to her, and she said, "Well, that's kind of cool, but I don't think I'll ever do it. So come on, it's not really anything important." And then CCP did it, and I actually didn't expect them to do it, but they went and did it with that last update. And so now the tower is still there. So if you go there, you'll still see the tower, and you'll still see the globe of containers anchored around it. Beneath it now is this huge sort of collimated thing where with a pod on top, with a couple people, sort of a male and female sort of figures coming out of it, like a giant, like literally a giant sort of monument of rock, basalt and rock, basically. And it has this effect on coming out of the top, like a fountain style effect coming out of the top of light, coming out of the top of the pod, which occasionally pulses and launches sort of a pulse up through the graveyard. And it's huge. It's massively outsizes the tower that's actually there. Oh. The reason I think they did was, from what I understand, at one point, player-owned stations were going to be basically phased out. It would mean that when they phased out the cemetery, all the corpses would go. It would all despawn after a certain period of time. So the cemetery would be gone. But I think CCP realized what had been going on. They'd seen things. They'd read articles. People, I think, even sent emails to them and said, "Hey, listen, you can't let this fall. You can't let this go." I think they put in a mechanic that kept the tower there as a tower so things would remain anchored to it and wouldn't despawn because other towers went away. So eventually they put this thing in. Now the monument itself means is an in-game NPC monument. It's like the in-game NPC space stations. It's a permanent structure. Attacking it is paramount to getting nuked by the in-game police system called Concord. There are three of their ships patrol the cemetery, and the ships that patrol the cemetery are just obnoxiously powerful and nearly indestructible.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how would you protect this? So nobody's even going to try to take this out at this point.
Not anymore. Now that it's an NPC thing. So in high security systems, if you attack somebody who you're not at war with or who has not stolen from you and being flagged as a free kill, you get in trouble, basically. You're attacking an innocent, and the in-game NPC police force known as Concord will come after you. And they find you wherever you are. You can't escape them, and they will blow the crap out of you. It means that Azzy and I and the rest of the gang from her group, we don't really have to do anything anymore. We don't have to fuel the tower anymore. We don't have to protect it anymore, because what's there now doesn't have to be fueled, and what's protecting it is way beyond anything we could ever help with.
Yeah, I love that the game gods realized that this was a significant monument that the players had built and that they actually decided to recognize it so that it couldn't be attacked or anything like that. I did want to return to the fact that you said, you know, probably about 10% of the people commemorated in the cemetery are real life people. We actually read that a U.S. diplomat who died in Benghazi.
Yeah, he was a player, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and is commemorated in the cemetery. Is that correct?
I'm going to honestly say I'm not 100% sure, but I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
And I know the guy in Benghazi was a player, so it's possible someone may have done that for him. Yes.
Wow.
And he was playing very shortly before the attack. And
from
what I understand,
he was actually playing and said, listen, there's stuff going on. I got a logged out, and that was that.
Wow. Have you seen people being commemorated who died from COVID?
Not that I'm aware of yet, but it wouldn't be surprising if that does happen at this
point. Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah.
Well, along those lines, I think it might be time for us to look at some of the epitaphs that are really on there.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Sure. Yeah. I visited recently and I was quite moved. I really was. I didn't know what to expect. You know, you read about it and it doesn't do it justice. It's like when you're really there and you're looking around and it, I don't know, like, well, let me ask a question from our Discord. This is from Janice Weeb, who asks a pretty straightforward question. Like, how many people or how many canisters are there roughly?
I think even Asia lost count.
Yeah.
And if you, and you've been there, Matt, you, hundreds, maybe close to 1,000 easy.
Maybe, I mean, at least 1,000, if not thousands. And so you see it from space and you're like, okay, here's where it is. And you get in there and then you fly into it and you are just surrounded by these canisters, which are graves. And then, so you look at them and, you know, as Jay said, most of them are here lies whoever. But the ones I found, you know, this one is a canister named for Ishan Berentes with a date on it. It says, miss you, nephew, which is, you know, that's kind of sad. Or that, you know, the dates are a little too close together. So, you know, a child or a teenager who passed away. Here lies William Penn, miss you, granddad. Here lies Timmy Dunn, a friend to many, brother to one. Here lies Jennifer Jason Robertson with a date. Thank you for raising me, cousin. I love you. So, a canister commemorating RIP Stephen Hawking. Obviously, I don't think Stephen Hawking was playing Eve, but you know, when he died, it was a blow to the science community, of course. Here lies Doug Williams, a beloved uncle taken before his time. Again, these could be in-game characters just with fun epitaphs commemorating them, but I think they're personal.
They're real world.
They're real, like, yeah.
Yeah, they are real world. And I think that was why CCP decided to keep it, was because it went from being a kooky thing this young woman was doing just because she thought it was kind of funny to do, to a semi-serious project that she roped all of us into, and I won't ever regret that. I think it was most fun thing I've ever had as an active thing in the game. And Asia is a wonderful woman, and my only regret is I've never been able to actually meet her in person, even though she lives where all my family comes from. I'm a first-generation Canadian. My mom and my dad's from Yorkshire. My mom's from Cornwall. And I have tons of family back over there. And my one regret is I've never been able to go over and meet her and actually shake her hand and say, this is so much fun.
There's still time.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, depends on how we all weather this whole thing.
Well, thank you so much, Jason, for taking the time to speak with us. We have clarified you are not the gravedigger from Hamlet, but you're doing very cool work.
An inspiring gold digger.
Not really.
Gold digger? You guys get it?
Gold, like gold?
Like G-O-L. Gold.
Oh,
like
G-O-L. Yes, gold. Oh, yeah. Gold digger. Yeah. I suppose, maybe.
You know what? I'll see myself out.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I would love to see this monument. I've only seen a picture, but like you describing, Matt, what it's like to be there, it is like, it's awe-inspiring, right? To be
present. It really was.
Yeah.
It was peaceful. It was moving, you know, because like you're looking at this like list of probably 1,000 things and it's just a lot of text. And then all of a sudden you see, you know, here lies my nephew or whatever. And it's like, oh my God. Wow. Okay. Wow. And you're right up next to it. I don't know. It's special. This was nice.
Yeah. Are there pets on there? Is You said cemetery.
Definitely some hairs. My buddy, you know, Rex or whatever, stuff like that. Yeah.
Cool.
The other thing I loved about Jay's interview was like when he was describing like when the cemetery was threatened, and it's like, that's the Star Wars shit that I want from a video game where it's like real players and you get a message and you're like, hey, these fucking goons are going to threaten this thing. Like, I need help.
And you get a message delivered by droid and it pops out. It's a hologram and it says, help me, yes. Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Exactly. And then you rush, you and your friends rush to that star system and fight this battle in real time and hopefully stave off these jerks. Like,
I feel
how cool
like I'll
that?
Be into that in VR, but just staring at screens more. Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, I'm glad we're all not being dead. This has been great.
For all of y'all, we, as always, would love to hear from you. What do we want to know from our wonderful listeners this week?
I would like you to write epitaphs for me and Jen in haiku form and tweet them to us at Allie Gold. Mm-hmm. And
that
at Junebugger.
Extremely morbid, but okay.
But it could be interesting.
Could be great.
Okay. You can also email us at 2g1podcast@gmail.com. You can text us or leave us a voicemail. Exciting times. You heard a voicemail today. Please keep them coming. That number is
347-871-6548. That number again, 347-871-6LIT.
And join our Discord server if you haven't gotten the point by now. It's a great place to be. It's discord.gg/2g1p. Listeners of the show are coming and communing with one another. They're suggesting show topics. They're providing questions for the show. So please, we want to see you there. We'd love to have you. And Allie, if they'd like to contribute, how do they do that?
You can go to patreon.com/2g1p. And remember, if you contribute $50 or more, Matt's going to incorporate you into the intro. Maybe they have to have already done it for a couple months, Matt. So it's not like they get in. Oh, no, but then you could remove them.
If you're going to put $50 in, you're in.
Okay.
No matter what.
You heard it here. Matt's the one that's going to have to do it. I don't give a fuck.
All right, folks. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Production assistance is provided by the Podglomerate. This show is a production of The Daily Dot, the number one source for in-depth reporting about life on the internet.
1 Sonic Universe.
Do you need to orgasm on microgreens?
Okay. So glad you asked. Can we write that down?